beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. Never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. And learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. Good evening, and welcome to Bring Back the Family, Block by Block, focusing on the youth. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, Block by Block, focusing on youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. First, we're going to acknowledge God with the scripture and the prayer, and then we'll get right to it. We had a little break last week, a lot of technical difficulties, but I think that we got them all straightened out now. And, you know, we missed you guys, and it just don't feel right when I don't talk to you and we have this show. So we're back in full force. Okay, so enjoy. Okay, so we have our hosts, and, you know, like I always say, God has brought us together to serve in the way that he would have us to do our part in bringing awareness to what we need to do for our youth. Okay, and so I have a dynamic team, host team, and we have Jacqueline Vandegrift, and she's going to do our scripture. And we have Rebecca Johnson, and she's going to do our prayer. And we have our host, Callie Pierce, and our senior host, our youth host, one of our youth hosts, Jacob Whitron, which is a senior in high school. And then our young adult host, Shania Cox, that college graduate that's traveling all over the world and corporate America doing her thing, okay? And then, hey, we have our very own Wrap It Up Man with his biblical perspective, the awesome Pastor Ro from Runner for Christ Ministries. Okay, so let her rip.
Well, good evening, Miss Clyburn and Miss all the other hosts and Pastor O, Miss Rebecca Johnson, Miss Pierce, the youth hosts. I welcome everybody in the listening audience. So let's get started. A living sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privileges and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his wisdom, of his word. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Jacqueline Vandegrift. I love that scripture. I am Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to open us up in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that we serve a God that is able and who is bigger than all our problems. We praise you and love you and thank you for praying grandmothers, for comfortable weather, for being the first and the best giver, and for knowing us better than we know ourselves. We thank you for waking us up again today. We thank you for your patience with us as we learn and grow and fall short daily. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for every opportunity to serve and earn heavenly treasure. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for all those who will participate and for each person listening to Bring Back the Family tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you know all things and that you care for and guide us. We ask that you hear and answer our prayers. We ask that you protect and save us and keep us surrounded by your hedge of protection. We ask that you show us your favor and cause all the children to be safe from evil. We ask that you help each of us to know how we can help on our blocks. Because we know that we can do nothing without you, we ask that you give us the wisdom to do your will in bringing back the family. And we ask for all these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Jackie and Sister Rebecca. Thank you very much for that. Okay. So, you know, this is Bring Back the Family, Focus on the Youth, Block by Block. And it is a call for the people to wake up, to get engaged, get involved, and make a difference. It's a calling for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they're faced with a better tomorrow. Who is willing, who is responsible, and who is willing to sacrifice and take responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? And what are we going to make up in our minds to do? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenges and changes, support and sacrifices, meeting people where they are in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Who's going to be in charge of the next chapter of passing the torch and running the race, doing great things because we prepared them? We can do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a nuisance or a burden to the community. So just picture that. The parents, young people, not having to worry about your adult child going out in the community and terrorizing and making a bad name for themselves or their family. Okay? So what are we going to make up in our minds to do? So, Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute, be a contribution to others all around the world and wherever they go. And all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation as parents and community comes from me and you. Someone did it for us. So we have to do the same for them, okay? So block by block, do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we need to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. And it's just simply giving back, giving more than what we had. Because it's a different time now and a different generational mindset and just meeting them where they are. So how do we propose to do it? Hey, block by block. Do something on your block to share, to care, love, be a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by. How? Books. Examples. Books, workbooks, outings, field trips, just doing something on your block, taking initiative, okay? You can start a book club. Invite them to church. You could do a career fair, educational awareness. Just show love, kindness, and concern. Cannot stress enough about books, reading, stress reading, just giving them some conversation, some concern. Okay, discussing careers, inviting them to church, getting to know your neighbors and the parents and just being involved, having good conversation, encouraging, be encouraging to our youth and one another. And you can never get enough of showing love. Smile, be kind, show kindness. And love, show love, okay? Because we are the first ones that they see. We are the first ones that they see. And so they're going to do exactly what we do, okay? And so if we're loving and we're happy and we're smiling, we have a good attitude, we're being kind and treating others kind, that's what they're going to do. And we're showing love and we're giving hugs and we're encouraging, that's the way they'll be. So we are their first line of defense. We're first, the first ones that they see, okay? And, you know, the times have changed. We're in a new era, and our youth need more preparation than what we had, okay? And family and community, the village plays a very important role. Okay, we all need to be involved, to support, encourage, and love, okay? All right, so every little bit helps, resources, you have resources, share those resources. What are you doing on your block to help the next generation? To help a kid, to help a young person or a young adult, high schooler. What are we doing to help? What can we do on our block? Let's think about what we could do. Every little bit helps, okay? And so today we're going to talk about methods of discovering your youth's gifts and talents and why they're important. And it's important to hold our youth to the greatness, to allow them to know the highest possibilities for their futures, and that starts at home, okay? Their greatness and the highest possibilities. So the parents and caregivers are our youth's first example, hero and motivators. Okay, and then we're going to discuss the 100 Scholarship Challenge. We're going to keep putting that out there for these young folk and apply for scholarships, at least 100, and can imagine how much they can have after they apply for these scholarships to pay for their college tuition. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today. And like I said, every little bit helps. Block by block, what are you doing on your block to help the youth? Okay, gifts and talents. We have to just pay attention to our children. We have to pay attention to what they're doing. And we could just see their gifts and talents right in front of us and not even know it. But we're so wrapped up with going to work and being busy in our own schedules and things that we're doing that we're missing it. We're missing those gifts and talents, okay? They're worth. If we don't discuss and communicate and show self-worth, then they won't know that they have any worth or know that they can make a difference in this world or that they are needed, okay? And we want to talk about careers as far as identifying the youth's gifts and talents to match their careers, okay? So if we're paying attention, even when they're little, when they're small and they're being, you know, exploring, see what they're exploring about. Check out what they're doing. Write it down and kind of remember. I was talking to some friends that's in careers and that's professionals, and they, you know, the careers are suffering because we have not replenished them and put the next generation in a position to know that all these careers are for them. Okay, we don't talk about what you're going to be in school, what you're going to be when you grow up, and show them that they can be those things. Okay. We need more professionals, because if we just got the professionals up here now and they're getting all the work right now, we're going to have a big gap if we're not preparing for the next generation. And we can see that happening now. If we don't prepare the next generation, they might be up there making all the money right now because they don't have enough professionals, enough teachers, enough doctors. They don't have enough of the professions to replenish the people, to service the people. And so they're just up there and they're being overworked because they don't, no one is coming behind them. So like they say, reach back and grab one, reach back and pull one up. That needs to be our focus, because how are we going to replenish all of these careers and these jobs? And like I said, your greatness and your highest possibilities, it's not just working at McDonald's or working at a department store. Yeah. We need people to do that, but those jobs not just for us. They're for everybody. So, but you can be the doctor. You could be the nurse. You could be the lawyer. You could be the builder, the plumber, the electrician. Okay? And so those are the conversations we need to start having in our home with our children. Don't matter how young they are. Don't matter how young they are. And you just have to ask questions. You have to talk to them and find out what they're interested in. Okay? You have to ask a child if she or he thinks they're good at a certain thing, if you're good in art. Okay? And if he or she enjoys doing, you know, artistic things, most of the time they may not know or be able to say what it is that they're good at. But if you notice that they enjoy certain things, then you could put that in your, you know, your memory as far as, okay, they enjoy doing this. Like I say, we're working and we're so busy that we don't have time to check and find out what it is that they do. Their gifts and talents are just running past us and we're not even noticing them. If your child is curious, I have one of my little cat's kids that's always, I mean, she notices everything. She noticed if a car is speeding. She noticed everything that nobody else is thinking about. She is noticing it. And I was like, boy, you could be a good detective, you know, just very detailed, very detailed. And I'm just really, it's like, okay, I'm going to figure out what it is that you're going to do, because she is very nosy. She's nosy and she's outgoing and she loves to ask lots and lots of questions, lots of them. Some of them just be way out, way out. And I'm like, why are you asking me that? But she's asking. I'm like, it's something special about this kid asking me all these questions all day long. Mm-hmm. And so that's your cue right there to know that this is a special one. And she has a gift. Okay? So, yeah. And so that's the thing. It's the communication. It's the watching. It's noticing what they do well. Uh-huh. Are they fast runners? Can they read well? Are they bossy leaders? You know, are they detailed? Yeah. I got a two-year-old running around here bossing me all day. Come on. Come on. Let me show you. Let me, you know. And so I know that he's going to be a little leader. Yeah. And so we have to start working on him right now. He loves water. So we're going to put him in swimming lessons right now so he will be ready. So when he get 15, 16, he could go out and he could be a lifeguard while he's in school, when he goes to college, if that's what he decides to do. But we want to make sure that we put that in his head and talk to him about it early. Okay? So going to open up the lines, and if you want to have a word to say, I ain't going to take up the whole show, and you want to get involved in this conversation, we got Miss Jackie and we got Miss Rebecca, so come on to talk to me, Miss Rebecca and Miss Jackie. So if you want to be involved and have a comment, you can press 1, and then we will open up your mic, okay? So what do you have, Ms. Rebecca? I know you said you've been working on this, and, you know, gifts and talents is an exciting topic to you. And so,
yes, it is. So I am excited. Our topic is identifying our youth's gifts and talents to match careers. And so identifying your child's gifts or talents involves close observation, just like you said, Sister Kathy, encouragement and discovery. And once you've recognized what gifts they have, then matching them to potential careers involves understanding the specific skills and interests that can be applied in different professions. So here are some ideas to identify your child's gifts and link them to potential careers. So the first thing is observation and encouragement. Watch for their natural interests. Pay attention to what they naturally gravitate toward, whether it's drawing or problem solving or storytelling or helping others or tinkering with technology. Just like Sister Kathy said, each interest is a clue. Mm-hmm. And then offer them opportunities to engage in different activities like sports or arts or STEM projects or volunteer in a book club. Help them to discover what they enjoy. And then identify their strengths. Notice what they excel at, if it's academic subjects or social skills or creativity or leadership. Assess their abilities. Know if they have exceptional skills in specific areas like critical thinking or communication or organization or hands-on tasks. It's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Then seek feedback from others like teachers or mentors or other family members can give valuable insight into that child's strengths and areas where they have seen where they shine. And then help your child to understand and appreciate their own talents. Discuss their interests and possible career paths and see what they think. And see if those align with the interests that we have discovered that they have. And then exposure to diverse experiences can help. If you expose them to different environments and different professions and role models. This can inspire them to consider different career paths that matches their gifts. Possible you could arrange for them to do an internship or have a shadowing experience in a field that seems like it aligns with their interests. And this hands-on experience can be eye-opening. It can either confirm that they really are interested in what they thought they were interested in, or it can let them know that they don't have any interest in it. And then to match the gift to the career, you need to explore different professions that align with the child's gifts. For example, artistic talent might align with some careers in graphic design or fine arts or illustration. And then link the skills and the interests. For instance, strong problem-solving skills might lead to careers in engineering or computer science or research. And so we need to nurture development. Once we found some potential career paths, then we need to encourage the child to develop the necessary skills and pursue education in that field. Help them with resources in classes, or workshops or mentorship to help them further develop their talents and skills. And remember that career paths are not always straight and they can change over time. So it's key to keep an open mind and allow the children freedom to explore and evolve their interests and talents. So flexibility, support, and guidance are key in this process. And then I want to speak a little bit on knowing both your spiritual and your natural gifts, because if you know your spiritual gifts, that can lead to a deeper understanding of yourself and your child and help them with personal development and help them with a sense of purpose and help guide career choices and life paths and help them to find ways to use their abilities to make a positive impact on their community and the lives of others. So I found this youth gift test. It's at info@spiritualgiftstest.com. So that's info@spiritualgiftstest.com. And then we, of course, have the Spiritual Gift Assessment on the Runner for Christ Ministries website, and that's located at rfcm.org. Under Bible Classes, there's a link called Spiritual Gift Assessment. And that's what I have for this evening.
That is some powerful, powerful information. Very good. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. I like that. info@spiritualgiftstest.com. I'm going to check that out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That one is for the youth.
Okay. Yeah. Great. I'm going to keep that on and put that on the Runner for Christ website as well. Okay, well, thank you. Very informational. Miss Jackie, are you there? Are you with us? I see Miss Pierce has joined us, so if she wants, just press 1 if you want to have a word. And anybody else that wants to join us, jump in.
You know what? I am here, and I'm enjoying the information that Miss Johnson just shared with us, and we look at knowing the difference, and this is something that, because we like minds think alike, and we pulling up the same information, but I was looking at something saying, what is the difference between talent and gifts? Gift learners are those with abilities in one or more academic subjects such as math or English. Talent learners are those who have practical skills in areas such as sports, music, design, or creative and performing arts. So listening to you, watching you with little ones, some of the kids like to jump, they like to flip, they like all this kind of stuff, and they enjoying it. And we look at gymnastics, and we say, hey, that little person would be good at that, you know? And experiencing, because they might just have that ability, that talent to soar in that with a little training. So touching base, but you know, our children will never experience anything unless we introduce it to them. And I was talking to someone today, and they were saying that, well, I don't think that you should, a parent should be at the school all the time with their children. And I learned that from a young lady, Shirley. People talked about her, but she actually was hands-on with her children while they were in school. Well, both of her children are doing well. Both of her children went to college. Both of her children are not in any trouble or anything, but she was there. And like I said to the person, I said, you know, what we used to do, if you, the ones that were able to be at the school, to be a support system in the school, the ones that couldn't, we looked out for their children. And they provided snacks for the kids. And like in the morning time, we had maybe 15 minutes that the kids would come in, whether any child could have a snack. So that meant that the child that didn't have breakfast coming to school, nobody knew that the child didn't have breakfast because everybody had snacks. And the parents said, yes, we agree, let's form this. And when every week they would make sure that they would bring their supplies in, because they were thankful somebody was taking notice to help them with their children. So we got a chance to see what some of the children were good at. And that's why it's so important. And I was so excited, you know, Ms. Kathy, when you decided on this subject, because a lot of our gifts and talents are pushed to the side, and then we wish that we could have did this or did that. One of the things that, like swimming, when your child is introduced to swimming, then they have it in their mind that they might want to be in the Olympics. Those are professions. They work hard to get to that level, to that profession. Somebody brought it to my attention today. You know, it's why it was so important for us to notice a child's gifts and talents. They were saying that we can't give up on our children, but if you want to be, say you don't want to go to college and you want to go to trade school, that's fine. But learn how to run the business so you can own the business. And sometimes when you're looking about going into the direction that you're going, it's always good to know how not to work for somebody, but be your own employer, hiring your own people, your name on the back of or the front of that jacket or that service provider, okay? So those gifts and talents, somebody might love to sew. Well, we got top seamstress. Learn how to run the business to be a top seamstress. Learn the talents that you need to know the difference in material. So that gift that you have, when we speak about taking it to another level, just don't embrace the gift. Be good at your gift or your talent, but also learn how to run your own business. And I think that that's something that Pastor Oaks speaks about on a lot of occasions, how they ran certain business doing for many years. Sister Kathy, you speak about it as well. And different of us have business, but when you learn how the ins and out, like, say, for Shania. Shania learned, she's learning this skill with her company and hands-on. But yet and still, if she really, after she learned the ins and outs, if she really want to be her own, have her own, she has that ability, because not only does she went to school and got the information she needed to be successful, but she had the hands-on experience with corporate America. So she's setting herself, she's young, she's setting herself up to be her own if she want to. If she want to work for somebody mm-hmm. else, she can. But if she ever get to that position to say, well, you know what, I'm tired of working for somebody else, she'll have the skills and the knowledge, and she'll use those gifts towards becoming her own employee. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Powerful, powerful information. Yes. And, you know, Shania's parents, they're entrepreneurs too, so she got it. So she really has inherited that love for business too, because she is business. All of their kids are business minded. Her siblings are business minded because they were kind of brought up into entrepreneurship, and they have like a security business and printing and things like that, and photo booths and what else? they have their hands in a lot of things. So, and the kids are always involved in that. So that's how you learn. That's how you learn to be in business and to be an entrepreneur, because sometimes it's passed down to you. Okay, and you're involved in it with your parents. So yes, that's a good, very good point. And also, like you said, trade school, running your own business and being your own boss. I remember when Miss Pierce had taken the young man to school. I think he's in the heating and cooling, and he finished that program. But she would always encourage him and tell him that he was going to have his own name on his own truck one day. Encouraging him to be an entrepreneur, because when you in the heating and cooling, you can have your own business. So he's looking forward to that, and he's doing well since he's been out of school, and he finally found the job, you know, a job that will allow him to take care of himself and save some money and be able to buy that truck and put that name on it one day. So we're going to keep up with his progress, okay? Yes, so that is great. Let me see. And you're right. You have to notice these babies and what they're doing. I had a niece. She used to come over, and everywhere she would go, if we had a family outing or something, she would be flipping and running and just flipping all over the house, just like that young lady, Simone Biles. They noticed her talents because she was flipping around all the time, and look where she is today. And so I don't know if that was a missed opportunity for my niece to, because I used to say, okay, she looked like she, could be a real good gymnast, you know, because she is flipping all over the place. They'll show you what you're going to do. But right now she's playing volleyball. And I was telling reminding my nephew about when she used to flip around like that. And so sometimes when you're not in the same home, you know, raising your children, so you don't have a lot of say-so and different things. But she is go to good schools, and she's active in volleyball, and she makes good grades. So she is on the right track to success and, you know, going to college because she has been, that has been instilled in her about her education and going to college. And she has two older sisters that are also in college. And so, and a mom that's very active in their life and their dad. So, you know, all those things count. All those things play a part. And then, like you were saying about the athletic abilities, you just never know because, you know, some time the kids, they're around and they're, you know, jumping off stuff. Now, right now, this little two-year-old, he's in the Spider-Man, so he's jumping all over the place and just, you know, crashing and just doing all kind of stuff, jumping around. So I don't know if it's the his athletic abilities or he's just really seriously into Spider-Man. You know, I think it's the Spider-Man thing. But he does get up every morning and go in and start shooting his basketball hoop, and he wants me to join him. And so we play basketball almost every morning. And so you never know what that'll bring. And like I say, he loves to swim. He loves the water. And so, like Miss Rebecca said, it's an investment. So if we invest and take that little two-year-old swimming right now, where he can learn how to swim in deep water, because they have a place that they could go to learn. Toddlers called I'll get that the correct name, and they teach them how to swim, and they're able to swim in deep water in about maybe 8 weeks or so. So I'm looking forward to making sure that he gets that opportunity. And it's, like I said, it's just an investment. It's an investment for later. And so we'll just look to see what that little guy will do in the future, and all of our young people, what they're going to do. We look forward to them doing something successful, okay? So if you want to have a word, you can press 1, and we will be happy to hear your comments. Just jump right on in, okay? Yeah, but I like that the entrepreneur aspect, you know, because like she said, if you don't want to go to college, you can go and get some training. And we need plumbers. We need electricians. We need builders, people to do carpentry. We need it bad. I mean, everybody's always looking for somebody to do these things in their homes, you know. And those are positions that you can do that will afford you your own business, okay? And being well and do a good job at it, because we're supposed to make money as well. Somebody was telling me that they were trying to get a young black man into a young fella into a business, that opportunity. And he went to discuss it with one of his relatives. And he told him, no, black people don't make that kind of money, you know. And so he said the only people that make that kind of money is basketball players, you know. And so that's a stereotype, and that's untrue. And, yes, everybody can make money. Okay. Did you have something to say about that, Ms. Jackie? I thought I heard you. Yeah.
Hello.
So,
go ahead. Yes, I do have something to say about that, because we never get too old to learn.
Never.
And we want to push our children, because sometimes they look up to certain relatives, and whoever has the loudest voice in their ear is the one that they listen to the most clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And
sometimes
it's not good advice.
Mm-hmm.
So, what, you know, we want to put our children in a circle of stability. And I remember many years ago, my pastor said, he said that there you want to train them while they're young in the word.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world is so many different avenues a person can go, or they could be influenced. But if they have embedded the word in them at a young age of their teachings, then they won't be influenced so easily with the negativity out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a new journey for them. It's a new, it's another level of plateau. You mm-hmm. were at the plateau where somebody was making sure you got up and you ate every day. They bought your clothes. They bought your school books. You went to school. Somebody was watching over you at school. But when you step out there into the next level of the curve in life, you want to be your own person. You don't want to be controlled by anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So once you, and I was telling someone today that my father used to always say, watch the ants in the summertime. They are constantly preparing themselves for winter.
Mm.
And look like the ants never die in winter because they have to work out preparing them. So I say this to young people, you have energy when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare yourself. Because somebody said to me, I don't want to be a struggling college student.
Mm-hmm.
Well, either you struggle in the beginning or you're going to struggle at the end.
Hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you really...
Everything's work. Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
really don't have to struggle in order to go to that next level. You just have to know what type of vehicle you're going to get there to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have invested in your education and made sure that you got the best grades you can, you can get scholarships, free rides. But if you play all 12 years
mm-hmm.
and don't put nothing into it, you get nothing out of it.
That's right. You pay now, or you pay later. We get. I got another caller here. If you
okay,
thank you. Very good. Because just they could have easily told them something encouraging that would made them, you know, well, yeah, I can make billions of dollars. But they, you know, or you could tell a person negatively, no, you would never be able to. You know, yeah, so got to encourage, keep encouraging. Ms. Pierce, are you there?
Well, good evening. How you doing?
Good evening. Wonderful. How are you?
Well, I can't complain. You know, this was a beautiful day today. I'm still sitting outside because I just want to hold on to this beautiful summer, like a summer day. It's like a summer night. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about earlier about teaching these young babies how to swim. And I like to say that Ryan Miller's Rec Center has swim class for infants and toddlers every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. And I have seen people bring babies as young as like 2 and 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they just let them play in that water. They sing little nursery rhymes and get the children used to playing in the water. And so that's a excellent way to introduce your children to not only to teach them how to swim, but safety, because mm-hmm. too many of our young people have a mishap when they go to these hotel parties. You always hear about somebody drowning.
Mm.
So if anything, just to teach them how to save themselves, how to float. And another thing is, like, a few years ago, there was a team of Olympians, young black females, who won the gold. And it put to rest that myth that black women or girls can't swim because of their hair. They don't want to mess up their hair. Those girls were in that pool, and they killed it. They really did. So there's so many things that you can put your child in when they're toddlers that's going to help them, that's going to benefit them later on. And they can, because do you really think that all those young people that's in college in the band, do you think all of those parents are paying for those kids' education? No. Those kids are getting scholarships to play in the band. They also mm-hmm. have scholarships for the girls who are cheerleaders. So if those if young ladies like to dance, do modern dance, they can be on a cheer team. They have so many things that not only for the athletes, for everything that revolves around the athletic department for young people to get involved with, so they can help pay for college if they choose to go to college. We have to, parents, they just have to really start reading more to their children. And I'm glad to see on the news where the news stations are having book fairs where they're giving children 5 books to take home so they can start their own little personal library. We really need to make sure that they really understand what they're reading. And they keep talking about how the COVID situation has really damaged not only black children, but all children, because they are so far behind. They're not at the levels they should be right now. So parents, you know, don't leave it all up to the teachers. They have all types of workbooks. You can go to Borders and or the Dollar Tree, and you can get whatever grade level your child is, and you can get the grade mm-hmm. level before lower than your child, so they can get up to speed. One person on TikTok was saying that kids in like the 6th and 7th grade, they don't have the basics of mathematics. They can't borrow. They can't multiply, they can't divide. And there's no way you're going to go any further in math if you don't have that stuff down packed. So we have to, even though there's computers out here, we really have to make sure these children know the basics of mathematics and know how to really comprehend what they're reading. So... Mm-hmm. That's all I
wanted
to comment on.
Mm-hmm. Very good information. Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those computers. Go ahead.
Children are your investment. Like my father used to tell us, we were his investment. And you want your child to succeed. You don't want to, after your child gets 18, you washing your hands, come on, oh well, I did my part. If your child is struggling, no, you didn't do your part. So we really have to stay on them. You can't be your child's friend. You have to really stay on them. You could be their friend after they reach 25, okay? But you really have to stay on young people. They don't know. They haven't been here before. They don't know what lies ahead for them. And so you have to tell them. Like I said, I remember, was quick story, I remember taking my sons, and not even my sons, other people's sons, their friends, I took them down to homeless shelter and let them see and things mm-hmm. like that. Let them see what's going on in this world. You can run off articles and tell your children, this is what you don't want to be. This is what you don't want to happen to you. Because it's wicked out here in this world. These young people got a lot to deal with. And if you don't try to teach them and try to let them understand that even though there's bad in this world, you can be that one of those. You can be that percentage that makes it. If you don't do that, you're gonna be sad. You're gonna be asking for a GoFundMe and stuff like that. So you know, I think that you know, young people want young parents. If you got children, it's like forget about trying to have the latest fashion or have the latest hairstyle. Forget about that silliness. You could be silly when you're 40 or 45, and be silly and you could be silly then. But while you got these young people that you have brought into this world, try to mold them so they can have a better life than you have. You know, if we would spend half the money on beauty products, if we would just spend a tenth of the money on our children, investing our children instead of beauty products, by God, we'd be a whole lot further. All these other nationalities, they, ethnic groups, they're teaching their children how to get our money. When you go to the nail shop, they have their little 9-10-year-old child running the cash register, okay? Mm. What are we teaching our young people? What skills are we teaching our young people? So, like you said, Kat, in your ad, if you don't raise them now, they're going to be a problem. If you don't raise them now, you're going to have a problem on your hands, especially if they're your children. You're going to have a problem if you don't raise your child, because they're going to be awful as adults who can't make it.
Yeah, if you don't help your youth now, you'll be victims. We will be the victims of not helping later. So the teachers, they better teach. They don't want to be victims of the little people that grow up, you know, and become adults, be victims of the circumstances that we did not teach them, parents and community as well. Everybody is in this. We're all in this thing together. We're all in this thing together. And hey, one thing about it, we already beautiful. We don't need a whole lot of stuff to make us beautiful. We already beautiful. So,
I tell you, it's just like Kathy, I'm gonna say this one thing. I wish that the thing that everybody always heard, that rumor that everybody heard about their grandmother sitting on their hair. I wish that that rumor was my grandmother had her own business and she was very successful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wish that was the rumor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because sitting on your hair is not going to make you successful, you know. You know, my great-great-grandmother, you know, that's just silly to say, well, you know, I heard my great-great-grandmother, she sat on her hair, so that's my dream, to sit on my hair. Come on.
Yeah, we're just supposed to have that that land, take over that land that was left, and we're supposed to been working that land and building and, you know, learning how to farm and all of that. But,
How about my grandmother was a landlord?
My grandmother was a landlord, my grandmother was a seamstress, which a lot of grandmothers were. They knew how to bake.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother was a baker. I mean, just a lot of things.
Those are good.
But I don't know why.
Because you get your own bet, you're in business, being a baker and a seamstress. Mm-hmm.
Seamstress, right.
Yeah.
Madam Walker was the one who
who developed the straightening comb. Okay, well.
That's right. Madam C.J. Walker, that's right. We can be inventors. We can.
Right.
We have to tell our children that they can. They could do all. They could be billionaires. What was that figure that the Amazon person makes? He make what, 1 point something billion every hour?
Yeah.
2 point something billion every hour?
Yeah.
Our kids could do that too. Yes. Okay, we got another caller. Okay, 143. Oh, no, that's you. Okay, let me see where that number goes. Okay, if you're on, you can go ahead and I think that was Mother Irma. Are you with us?
I am. Good evening.
Well, hello there. Good evening.
Good to hear the program on this evening. Very interesting.
Yes.
I thought I'd make a contribution to the conversation. And I just thank the Lord how much talent I have in my family.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to college myself, but I was always interested in sewing and cooking. But I didn't give up on the thought because I did make a lot of progress in doing my work from home as a seamstress, as well as teaching classes to the young ladies from 8 years old up through senior citizen. So that was a pleasure to be able to exercise my gift in that. And I loved to cook as well and to get into where I was baking, and professional cake decorating also was one of my professions. So I did that for several years as well. And my children, I taught them how to cook. I have a girl and two boys, and they all know how to cook. And I always thought that when they go off to college or living on their own, they could be able to take care of themselves. And they even brought back to me the thought that even being in college and in the dorm or whatever their setting was, they were always the one that ended up doing the cooking within the group of people. So that went well with them. And my daughter, she now is the cook over at the fish station. She does the side dishes for the fish station. So she's learned from home how to do this, and it's become a business with her to cook. So I'm thankful for that. As well as my grandchildren, my granddaughter, she's in nursing, and she just loves that profession, so we have to pray for all of our children. Right now I have a grandson who is the band E-Course High School. Lord Amani Cooper is my grandson, and that band has really grown in the time period that he's been there. So we're very proud of that profession with him. And I certainly remember when he was just a little guy, he wasn't living far from River Rouge High School, and he'd go off, walk down on the corner and watch the band practice and hear the boom, boom, booms going on. And also he'd even watch the cheerleaders practice. So he got to learn all the cheers as well. So we just don't know what our kids can and will do, but we do have to expose them to various different things. Also, I have my older grandson, he's Lord of mine, his brother, he lives in Sweden. So he and his the baby's mom, they have a son. And when you're talking about swimming and all the various different things that the kids can learn to do, he learned how to, the baby learned how to swim even before he could walk. And that was something that just got him started because his dad is a basketball player, so he's learned how to play basketball, football. And he even learned how to play hockey. And would you believe it, even at a young age, he knows how to ski. And he's no more than about 5 or 6 years old even now. So we're proud of the exposure that he's had to all those kind of things. Also, I've got another grandson. is Caleb Jr. He swims or learning how to swim. He's been up to Myrtle Beach and been out there on the beach swimming and enjoyed it so much. When he come back home, he thought he could just speak the words of Myrtle Beach and he could go again. And been on an airplane probably more than I have. So he's been exposed to even flying on those great big airplanes. And some kids, even, you know, they cry when they go to school because maybe they haven't been exposed to other children. But this little guy is 4 years old and had no problem going off to Head Start. Soon will be, of course, in kindergarten. So he just loves going to school. There's no problem getting up and going to school. And I told him I hope he stays that way throughout college, right, that he'll enjoy going to school. So he's really been a blessing. And then I have another grandson, the one I just spoke of. He's a great-grandchild. And this other little great-grand I have, he's not even 5 months old yet. And if you put him in a little walker, his feet touch the floor, and he can just walk across the room. It's such a young age.
Wow.
So what do we know what he may become,
right,
at such a young age?
Sound like a runner.
Yeah. And you don't see that kind of thing happen to him. Maybe they get 6, 7, 8 months old.
Right.
But he's already doing it.
Right.
Because we said he was born with big feet, so maybe that'll be the same.
Wow.
So I just thankful for all the kids. And even my brother, my oldest brother, he worked for Ford Motor Company. He didn't go to college, but he worked for Ford for years, retired from there. And he was a tool and die maker.
Mm.
He got to be so well known in his trade till when he did retire, Ford did not want him to leave. And being a black guy, too, that kind of field was not so much available for the black family. But he was so well known about the whole plant that any position that came available, they would put him in it, even had his own office when he did retire. So I'm grateful to have that in the family. And then I have my younger brother is Dr. He's now retired, but he has been in that category for a long time. He worked for Dr. Lackey. In fact, Dr. Lackey was off for a while, and my brother was the one that sat in for him. My younger sister, she does the lab work. If you go to doctors and they draw your blood, she's the one to test that. So we just never know what we can do, the interest that we can get into it. And be willing and able to be a part of all these things that are going on. So I'm just thankful that I can say I also have one that's in television. Byron Allen is my cousin. So if you know him, he started out right here in Southwest Detroit. And now he's been with his mother out in California for years. And he has programs on TV. In fact, the judges that are on TV, those are his people. The Weather Channel belongs to him. So, I mean, that's quite a thing. Rollercade, Roller Rink is also my family. That was my mom's sister that started that. So it's just a whole lot we can do. We think we can't, but we got to try it. We got to get out and do it. So I'm grateful to be a part of all of that going on right into my own home, my own family. And I'm just grateful to be able to share this with you this evening because you can do it even if you can't go to college. Just whatever you're interested in. You can go on and take a class here and there and show just your interest in what you can do. Amen. God bless you. Have a great evening.
Great. Thank you, Mother Irma. That was a great success stories.
Amen.
Went from one spectrum to the other, from the top to the bottom. Yeah, one spectrum of age group to the younger, all the way down to the babies. Yeah, that is great. That's a good success story. You could write a book about that. And, you know, we have heard about all, we know all of those people. And even Lord Imani, like you said, he was a little guy, and now he's a grown man. And when we were down at the breast cancer walk last couple of Saturdays ago, E-Course Band was down there, and they had like a little battle of the bands, and they won. So Lord Imani led that band down there, and they won whatever competition that they had down there. Their band
he gets
won
around.
It. Yes.
He gets around,
sure
goes
does.
To many states, and does win. If
yes.
he don't win first, he's second place. So we're grateful
yes.
for that.
He has always been brilliant, always, and just the nicest young man. With a good attitude, nice personality, and just very, he could dance. He does it all, so.
Amen, amen.
He was an RA student coming up. Mm-hmm, yep, and Byron Allen, the Roller Cade, all that entrepreneurial spirit that's in your family, it's just there, it's embedded. Mm-hmm. And so somebody taught that, and that's a great
amen.
Success story right there. Mm-hmm, yes, ma'am. And
amen.
I have
and
had
all that.
The mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, all that started with an idea that my aunt and her husband had to start the Roller Cade business, and it's still
mm-hmm.
going on and on.
It's still
and
there.
Even one of the
one of
the grandsons has picked it up and going on with it, and he's doing a tremendous job.
That's
and he's
right.
gotten to be one that, and we're friends with all the big shot names and the rich folks that are,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the city. So we're
yeah.
glad about that.
Roller
Cade has
been
on.
There forever. Mm-hmm. We used to love
mm-hmm.
to go to the Roller Cade, and I'm just glad it's still there. I'm so glad it's still there. Yeah, and it is. You take the kids, catch kids, go up there every so often and have a good time, and they'd be glad to see us coming. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still in the community, and we're just glad they're there, so we should go out there and support them every chance that we get. Yeah,
that's right.
And then and that cooking, I have had the opportunity to be the taste tester of all of it, and it is really good. The green,
mm-hmm.
I get a chance
mm-hmm.
to get some of that good food that everybody gets to cook. So, yes, ma'am, good
Amen.
Greens. I'm about ready for some greens too, and all the cakes, all the cakes. Yeah, I got a sweet
mm-hmm.
tooth, so I love all those cakes, and so yeah. Yeah, she could
Amen.
Cook.
I'm
for
good.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes,
well,
yes,
thank
yes.
you, Mother yes. Irma. That was great. You're going to have to come on and have a show, a whole show for yourself. Because this was a show in itself today. Yes, ma'am.
I'm smelling
good
something good right now. My oldest son is here. I've been down for a few months, or should say a few weeks, and
mm-hmm.
I'm smelling something that he's preparing. So he's my caretaker now. So I'm glad
cool.
that he does know how, and I'll be getting
good.
A treat pretty soon.
All right, I'm gonna come get some too. And so, he wouldn't
uh-oh.
He would not be able to do that if no one showed him how. Someone showed
That's
him
right.
how to do that. Someone showed him how to care and be a caregiver
yes.
at the same time. So
you
got to show him. And I love
mm-hmm.
all this, you know, with the baby going to the ocean. That's, you know, just showing them
mm-hmm.
what they could do, possibilities, you know, going to the ocean and loving
yeah.
that, being able to swim before they can walk. You know, all
mm-hmm.
of that, those are the things that we're supposed to be doing. Those are the investments that we speak of, and that has been a good investment all around. That's like a map there.
Yeah.
yeah.
You can't be lazy. We got to stretch out and expose them to many things that are out here
do.
For us.
We do.
Amen.
We sure do. Okay. Well, thank you so much for all that. Thank you. Everybody that's listening, and you know, get Pastor O up in here, and me and my little fella, and we're gonna go to Disney on tomorrow, and so he's gonna get exposed to Florida and the water and all the Disney characters or whatever it is that he wants to do, and just me and him, and you know, a few other kids and parents and stuff are going to go, and we are going to, you know, let them explore. And
mm-hmm.
so Uh-huh. We're going to do that on tomorrow. We're going to catch an airplane because we always say airplane. And so we're going to get on the airplane at 2 years old and go and explore. And then we're going to go to Myrtle Beach, too, because I always tell them I'm going to take them to the beach. So, yes. Uh-huh. That baby wants to swim in the ocean, huh? That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for all of that. That was some good news right there. That's a book.
Amen.
Right.
Thank
the
Lord.
Thank you. All right, Pastor O, are you with us?
Yes, indeed.
Hey.
Yeah, everybody was right on point tonight.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, as every time, especially when you're talking about getting them ready for the future. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, I think my father worked so hard to get us ready for the future so he could put us out. So we wouldn't be down there
right.
in the basement, turn his basement into an apartment. He
that's
wanted us
right.
to be
I
out
like
on
that.
Our own. You know, he literally used to tell us that when we used to ask him stuff about, why are you doing this? Why are the other kids playing and we over here doing this? And he would always tell us, so when you get older, you'll know how to take care of yourself. And
that's
then
right.
when we got older, he started telling us, when you get older, you decide to get married, you'll be able to take care of your wife and your family. And then when he got older, my mother got older, he started telling us, so that you can take care of me and your mother, or take care of your mother when I die. And so that's, so he, every step of the way, he was preparing us for the future because he knew it was coming. And unless he wanted six beds down there in the basement, turn that into a six-bedroom apartment, he had to teach us something, and he did. And so that is the theme tonight, what Rebecca said, what Sister Jackie Vandegrift said, what Sister Cass Pierce, you know, it's just love to hear it, the wisdom. You know, I just love to hear that wisdom. And then Mother Irma Miller come through and just give practical examples of this is what happened, this is what I did, this is what they're doing. So we see that it works, you know, because a lot of people are like, I might not do so well with that book, but if you show me, I can do it. And so most of what we do, like I hear you talking about little man, okay, most of what you do, and with somebody else you were talking about who's very observant and pays attention to what they see, you know, what are they seeing when they see us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that plays a big role. You never know what you're teaching somebody coming up about how to live life and how to be successful in life. There's no easy way. There is no easy way. I tried not working. That didn't work. I tried becoming a salesman of stuff. That didn't work. The only thing that worked is work. That's the only thing that worked. You know, and I never dreamed, you know, all of the things that my father and mother taught me prepared me to run the business that I ran. It was just the things that they said that just kept coming up over and over and over. Biblical things, practical life things, spiritual gifts, natural gifts, which brings me to what I want to talk about tonight. We've talked, I don't know if we have or not, but, you know, I want to talk tonight about the boy, Jesus. You know, Jesus grew up just like the rest of us. Okay, this might be a little deep, but theologically or doctrinally, he was fully God, but gave up his prerogatives as God. His mother gave him an earthly body. And Jesus grew up human just like us. Every single thing that we go through growing up, he went through growing up. Jesus wasn't an only child. He had four brothers that we know of, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And he had sisters. We know that his mother and father got together. We know the circumstances of that. Angel shows up, tell Mary, you're going to be the mom. Angel shows up and tells Joseph, no, your wife didn't cheat on you. What's going on with her is what the Holy Spirit has done. Okay, so Joseph takes her and he marries her. And it's only after Jesus is born that he begins to have all these other children, you know, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters. So Jesus grew up in a house where there were at least eight kids, them being one of them, okay? He had his brothers. He had his sisters. He's the oldest. And in their economy, in their culture, that made him, especially after his father passed away, the one who would have to teach everybody else how to do what the father had taught him. What he taught was taught to him, he would have to pass on to them. Bless you. So before all of that, though, Jesus was a little boy. Jesus went to school. We know that he could read because when he went to the temple, he opened the scroll and he read. And we know that he could write, okay? When Jesus was a little boy, maybe 2-3 years old, up to that point, maybe even to 5, he was with his mom doing work around the house. He was already being trained on how to do secular things. And where Jesus grew up, he grew up in a skilled trades town where most folks didn't have a whole lot of money, so they bartered for things. They would trade things, and most of them knew how to make baskets. They knew how to make pottery. They knew how to make tools. Jesus' father was a carpenter, but he also made plows for people to go and plow gardens. Jesus would also grew up around people who knew how to take flax and turn it into linens and turn it into clothes. So he grew up in a town where everybody had skills, everybody had a trade, and so he had to learn one. And Jesus' father happened to be a carpenter. Yes, God came to earth, wrapped himself up in human flesh, and became a carpenter. So at a certain point, Jesus left the house, started working with his father in the carpentry trade, trying to learn that skill. And so Jesus grew up going to school. He would have to go to Bible school, okay, where they would learn the first 5 books of Moses, and then they would learn the prophets, and then they would learn the writings, and then they would even learn how to interpret scripture. So, yes, Jesus went to school, and I know what you're saying, but how can God go to school? Well, again, he didn't come here as God. He is fully God. God is his father, but Mary was his mother. Okay, so his God nature is fully intact, right? So he's fully God and fully man, but he's living on earth totally as man. Okay, so let me read you something. And it's just a couple of verses in Luke chapter 2. Verse 51 and 52, the last verses in that chapter. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And here's what I want you to say. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. And so what we see in him when he's being raised as a little boy, okay, this all started. I have to bring this part in. I hope I don't want to be too long. But anyway, every year, Jesus' parents, they would go to the festival. Every 3 times a year, I think it was Tabernacle, Pentecost, and the Great Passover, which we celebrate every year around Easter. Jesus became the great Passover. So the Lord told them under Moses, 3 times a year, I need you to show up at the temple and celebrate these festivals, okay? Right. So his parents, you know how Joseph was. He was very in tune with the Lord. When the angel came and spoke to him, he did what the angel said. Even when the angel came and told him to get up from here, somebody going to try to kill the boy. So he got up and took him out. And then the angel came and said, you can go back now. Those who was after the boy are dead. And so he got up and came back. So he was very in tune with Judaism, and he was very in tune with hearing the voice of God, knowing it's the voice of God, and acting on it. So Jesus grew up in a church home. He grew up in a home where his mother and father, though even though they weren't rich, they were very, if you let me say it like this, religious. Okay? They understood the law. They knew the law, and as best they could, they lived according to it. Because the Lord himself said that Joseph is a righteous man. And so the scripture says because he was a righteous man, he didn't want to get rid of his wife when she showed up, well, his wife-to-be showed up pregnant, and he knew he didn't do it. Okay, he went home and he thought about the thing. But the scripture saying after he had that little talk with the angel, that Joseph being a righteous man. So if the scripture say he was righteous, that tells us a lot about his character and his walk with God and his wife's walk with God and how they agreed to this program that God sprung on them about you're going to have a child, his name going to name him Jesus, God saves us, Emmanuel, God with us, tells Joseph what happened over there is God's business, go ahead and marry her. And then after that, Jesus starts to grow up. So on one of these trips to the temple, Jesus went with them. And Jesus is now, today they call it a bar mitzvah. But in that day, Jesus was growing up. And he had become, he was becoming a man. And so on this trip, it was different from any other trip that he may have made with them. Probably one or two before this one. Because he would have to become familiar with what it means to become a son of the covenant. That means a grown man. Okay? There's a lot more I would like to say about this, but I ain't got time. Okay? So just he was familiar with where he was going. But this time would be different. Why? Because he's becoming an adult. And rather than just sitting there and listening, he would actually be able to talk. He would actually be able to respond. And on an occasion like this, when Jesus was there, I don't know if it was him, but the way they would start the Passover celebration is one of the younger fellows would say to one of the elders, one of those like Jesus coming up, able to talk now, would say, what is so special about this night? And that elder would rehearse to them how God brought them out with a strong hand from Pharaoh, and you know all the rest of that story, right? And he would be reminded of his heritage and where he came from. Now, his mother supposed that he was with the father. The father supposed he was with the mother when it came time to leave. And so when they left, they got together and noticed that he wasn't with them 3 days later. And so they went back to search for him, and they searched all over the place, and they finally found him. And where he was in his father's house, and what he was doing was asking questions and answering questions, and those who heard him were amazed. Now, this speaks to his education, okay? Jesus, just because he came here fully God, fully man, remember, he had to do this thing like we would do it. He cannot come here and be God because we're not God. He has to be tempted in every point just like we are, or he cannot be our Savior. So he didn't magically have this knowledge. He had to gain it. He had to read. He had to study. He had to understand. He had to practice. Just like we're supposed to do when we join the church. And at the same time, he had been trained, and now he's 12, 13 years old. He has been trained to be a carpenter. Okay? And so his parents finally find him. He's in the temple. He's doing his thing, talking with the doctors, talking with the teachers, asking questions, answering questions. Everybody's amazed. And he says to them, when they say to him, where were you? Why did you treat us like this? We were searching all over the place for you. And he says to them, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? Now, Jesus already recognizes the filial relationship he has with God. God is my Father. And naturally, this is where I would be, in his house, a house dedicated to him, where his Shekinah glory dwells. That's where Jesus would be. But then, because he lives, like, imagine this. God has parents. God has to go home and be obedient to his parents. But look what his parents did for him. Spiritually, he was steeped, like Paul, in Judaism. He understood the 39 books of the Old Testament, right? Because he went to school. He studied under a scribe to learn how to read and write. And he's become, what y'all are talking about tonight, naturally gifted as a carpenter. So his parents raised the boy Jesus up to be a man who is prepared to face the world. And it's a good thing that they did, because somewhere between 12 and 30, Jesus' father died. And now Jesus moves into the position of his father. And he has 7 to 8 brothers and sisters to look out for, along with his mother. Because in Israel's culture, a woman could not inherit property. So when Jesus' father died, he inherited everything. It was all his. If you remember the story of Naomi and Ruth, their dilemma was Elimelech and Milion and Chilion died while they were going off somewhere to try to find food, because it was a famine where they were, but they died while they were down there. And on the way back, she said, my name is Naomi, but don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Why? Because I can't even inherit the property that I've been living on when I left here. So Mary was in that same situation when Joseph died, but Jesus inherited. And so he had to teach his brothers the carpentry skill. He had to teach his brothers and sisters how to read and to write. They had to go through the same things he went through, same things we go through. Jesus, the boy, had become a well-rounded man. Not only was he raised in the scriptures, the 39 books of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, which came out in 284 B.C., okay, he was well-versed in Greek and well-versed in Hebrew, well-versed in Aramaic, which was the language of the day. Jesus could talk to anybody. Okay, so from 12 to 30, he continues with his mother to help raise his brothers and sisters the same way that he was raised. And how did that turn out? When I was listening to Mother Irma, how did that turn out? Well, guess what? Jesus' brother James became the pastor of the Jerusalem church. His other brother Jude wrote the book of Jude. They weren't followers in John 7 for sure, or in Mark 3:21. But later on, they saw their brother as not just their brother, but also as God. So the boy Jesus grew up well-rounded in the scriptures, grounded in the scriptures, and with natural giftings. He was a carpenter. Jesus could make you a table and give you a good price for it, or make a good trade for something you got that he wants and something you want that he has. Mm-hmm. Amen? And so if that is the way it was for Jesus, That is what the Lord wants us to do for our children today. Just follow the pattern. Like my father, like my mother, six boys and 3 girls, okay, plus my brother Kenny Joe and my other brother Sonny Bob. But those 6 boys and 3 girls, they definitely had a big part in their life. And my brother Kenny Joe was a show enough entrepreneur. I don't know that he ever worked for anybody other than himself. He had ice cream stores. He had nightclubs. He had the hot tamale man. And my father taught us all the auto mechanics. He taught us how to do plumbing. We stay away from electrical stuff ever since I blew up a clock. But anyway, all the rest of that, he taught us how to hang a ceiling in the basement, how to lay tile on the floor, how to paint. Well, they didn't like me painting because my mother said I get more paint on everything else but the wall. But anyway, so I kind of got fired from the painting. But, yeah, that's our job. That's what we do. And you don't have to have children to contribute to that effort. The people that helped Jesus to read and write wasn't his parents or relatives. They were people in the community. And the father took Jesus to that person, and who knows what they traded, a chicken or whatever. Yeah, teach my son how to read and write. And the scribe, that would be the person who would do it, did that. And so Jesus was could read and write. And in his day, that was huge because a whole lot of folks, as far as to 800 A.D., did not know how to read or write. And that included for 1,250 years, well, about 800 years, 400 years, the Catholic Church priests. They couldn't read. It wasn't until Charlemagne in 800 A.D. that he went out to listen to some of the priest's sermons, and that's when he found out that they couldn't read, and this is where manuscripts come from. Charlemagne, after hearing all of these sermons, and these people sounded crazy, he had sermons printed up, and they would be passed out to those churches in those dioceses, and they would read those sermons that Charlemagne had sent out. And he also created a school and put a man named Alcuin of York over that school, and it had a scriptorium in it, and it was purely for the education of the priest. So, yeah, that's our job, and it's important because that's how we pass down knowledge from one generation to the next. We have to each one reach one and teach one. And I love it when you say, what are you doing on your block? Don't think about the whole city. Don't think about the state, the country, the nation, the world. Think about your block, the kids you see every day. What are you doing on your block? And if they ain't on your block, go around the corner. I bet you they got some.
And on the next block. They're all around us.
Instead of being scared of them, get to know them. You know, I taught my wife, if you don't want to be afraid of people who look shady, be nice to them. You know, and when they see you, they come to respect you because, you know, they know you. So they ain't going to rob you because they know you. And if somebody getting ready to rob you, they'll say, because I was on the corner. I know when certain older folks would come around and somebody would look at them funny, another one of us would say, man, you can back up off that. That's Mose. You don't mess with us.
Right.
And that's because Mose treated everybody like they were somebody and treated them all nice. And so she didn't have to worry. She could walk right down Sallyette through the alley and not get bothered at all.
So, that's a fact.
Be a part of the community.
Yeah, and you have to speak to people, and they'll back off too. Well, she spoke to me. You know, we go past people so much, and don't nobody, and don't speak to that person. Don't even get eye contact. You know, and so you never know who needs a friendly smile or a hello or something like that. And that's how we train. You know, the kids see you speaking, and they'll speak.
Right.
See you being, kind. You'll be kind. They'll be kind. Go ahead,
Pastor. They don't want no. Like I said, I come from the corner, hung out there a lot, and they're really good people. They just don't like being shunned. And when you shun them, that makes them act different with you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you acknowledge them and treat them like human beings, I'm telling you, one time I went to the drag strip, and I was real nice to the guy down the street because I know a crackhead when I see one. So I knew he was going, if anybody was going to break in anything, it was going to be him. And so, but I treated him like, you know, I hired him to do this, hired him to do that. You know, stuff I could do myself, but I hired him to do it. And we developed a relationship, right? So one time I went to the drag strip, and in the haste, I left my shed open with several, with all my tools in it. We won't even say how much it was worth. But we all of my tools in there. And I didn't think about it until I was on the way home that I had done that. And then when I got home and saw the doors wide open, I'm like, oh, everything gone. It is gone. But he pops out of nowhere saying, dude, you left your shed open. I watched it for you. And I'm like, wow. The crackhead watched my shed and didn't take one thing. I gave him $20. Because I'm amazed. You're the guy that I was worried about, but you're the guy that's watching. But we had built a relationship. And so rather than take my stuff, which you're probably taking people's stuff, but rather than take mine, he watched it. And I was going to the track from, like, I used to leave at, like, 7 in the morning, get back maybe 12 at night. So, you know, it's how you treat people. But we have a responsibility, especially to our kids. Jesus, the boy, was trained up to be who he became when we see him at 30. A lot of those skills he learned right at home, just like we're supposed to. So he was the preacher over here. And when Jesus wasn't preaching, he was back home being a carpenter. So we really have to learn to bring them two together. You know what I mean? Because I guarantee you, while he was making somebody a table, I bet you they got a Bible class like they never had before. Because, you know, people hang, like, go to the barbershop, people be talking. People come down there to get Jesus to make them a chair or something. He said, well, if you can wait a minute, I'll be through with it in a minute. And you know he strike up a conversation. He didn't grow up sitting in the corner like a timid little boy. You know, Jesus was a regular little kid growing up in a really bad neighborhood called Nazareth. I mean, the Bible says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That tells you a lot about Nazareth, and that's where Jesus grew up. And he didn't just survive, he thrived in Nazareth. And so, you know, he had to grow up like we grew up. He was taught natural skills, carpentry, and he was taught the word of God. And so then when he went out on that ministry, I mean, think about it. He could do those things away from home. He could set up shop anywhere, like Paul. Yeah, he wrote 13 books of the Bible, but Paul was a tent maker by trade. Yeah, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, but he was a tent maker by trade, and he could do that wherever he went. And that's how he funded, he says in Acts 20, he not only paid his bills, but paid the bills of those who traveled with him. And that was not done because he went somewhere and preached and they gave him an offering. Most times they tried to kill him. He went somewhere and preached, and then he made tents when he wasn't preaching, and then he made money to take care of himself and other people. So he was a skilled tent maker and preacher or apostle. So those two have to come together. I don't know when we're going to get that. You know my favorite boys, Hebrew boys. They brought them together, and they took over Babylon. They ran Babylon. Couldn't tell them nothing. They ran Babylon. Why? Because they would only do what God told them. But they had been educated in all the sciences and skills of the Babylonians, and they excelled everybody else because God gave them special wisdom. I like how Jackie uses that word wisdom, God's wisdom, okay? Mm-hmm. They had special wisdom from God, and they excelled. Now, this is wisdom not in Bible stuff. They had that. Their parents taught them that. But this is wisdom in government. And they rose to the top of the government with those skills. But because they had brought both together, the Bible and the natural giftings came together. And like the Bible says, your gift will make room for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it did for them. And just because we say, well, that was for them, same God back then, same God today. If he did it before, he can do it again.
Mm-hmm. That's a song. If he did it before, he can do it again. Yes, he can. I'm not even going to look for it. But
yes, it is a song by Ty Tribbett.
Oh, yeah.
If he did it before, he could do it again.
He sure can. Good lesson. Boy, we get a whole good sermon at the end of our show, and I love that. Yeah. So, church tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. Church tomorrow at 9 o'clock and then 10 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio. Same call-in number, same login info. And then Sunday, 9 o'clock Sunday school, Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon going to be preaching Sunday. I'm taking over the preaching duties Saturday because she was scheduled to preach both days, but she's going to be at a conference. I think it's a women's conference. She's going to be at a conference getting some more information, so I'm going to preach for her Saturday, and then she's going to preach Sunday.
Okay, I was wondering. Good deal. Good deal. She's going to bring all that good conference to the kids when she gets back. That's good.
Yes. You know how
all that
she
good
do
information.
You know how she do it. She, you know, she's so humble with it. You know, that's what I love. She's an awesome preacher, awesome Bible teacher, but she's humble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she still remembers who she is, and that makes us see how great God is, and that's when you get some good teaching, good preaching. Plus, I love to hear, I love to be taught, and I love for other people to preach so I can hear.
And the kids love her, so yeah, so bring the kids out. Bring the kids, invite the kids to church, take them to church, your church, some church that have some Bible study for the kids, and so that we could get them, you know, straight the way they're supposed to be. Just bring them. The Lord will do the rest. Just bring them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, first Sunday in November, we'll be back at home. 27085 West Side Drive. I'm telling you, we'll be back in the house.
Great, Jackie. That's great. I can't wait to see how it looks in there.
Yes, there's been some changes. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's great. Right down the street. Looking forward to it. Okay. All right, so our parents, you are our youth first teachers. Tell someone about Bring Back the Family, block by block, focusing on the youth. Remember, do something on your block to help our youth get what they need to make it in this world. Because if we don't help our youth now, we will be the victims of not helping later. Okay, keep that in mind. And tell somebody about bringing back the family and doing something on their block and to tune in, to get involved in the conversation so that we can, you know, make this thing go, to say viral and make it work for our youth. Because it's all about the youth. You know, we done had our time, so now it's their time, okay? So let's do that investment thing and give them what it is that they need to make it. We know what they need. So let's give it to them. Okay. Thank you, Pastor O. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. Thank you, Sister Pierce. Thank you, Mother Irma, and everybody that tuned in and listened today. And next week we are going to, Ms. Jackie, you want to say what we're going to discuss next week, if you still on the head?
Yes, yes. Next week we are going to talk about something that's very important, how to cover our income, how to protect our families, and how to start our children at an early age, just saving money for, towards their education. And so we hope everybody tune in, because a lot of our problems starts in the early ages when we don't prepare. And when we don't prepare, we leave ourselves open for the surprises of life. And so we want to talk about that, talk about how to cover ourselves with, you know, with the blanket of protection, because I believe it was in Hebrews where there was one was given five trades, the other was three, one was one, and how two of them made it work, but the other one hid theirs. And it was not acceptable because they didn't have the faith. And sometimes we don't understand, and things that we need to know is right there in the Bible. And I don't know how that one book represents so many years of generation after generation, and it still plays a major role on what we need to do in life and if we follow. And so we want to talk about that. We want to talk about how to protect our families, how we need to cover ourselves with our insurance policy, how we need to cover ourselves as far as the vehicle we use. We all have a vehicle, but are we riding in or driving the right vehicle? So, you know, that's a question and a major concern that we have. And when we need to do these things when we're younger, but it's never too late. Okay, so that's what I want to talk to you about. And hopefully I'll be on with my fabulous group that we're on with this week. And I look forward to joining you next Friday.
All right. We will look forward to that. And then I think our young people, our youth hosts and our young adult hosts are going to take a whole month and give us information that they're interested in, their age group is interested in, to get their group of age group to be involved. So they haven't told me which month yet, so look forward to that shoot. Okay, so yes. Okay, same time, same place next week, different topic. And we look forward and just thank everybody for tuning in and having your say. Okay? Guess what? We have work to do. Let's do it.